Many of you probably know who Max Lucado is, and he tells a story of a man named Joe. And Joe was a mechanic by trade, and he fell in love with a young woman, and the two of them loved to dance. That was their favorite pastime. They would go do ballroom dancing, and that was how they loved to spend their evenings. And especially for them, it became a tradition that on Christmas Eve, they would dance before the presents were opened, and they would just enjoy each other's company and the sounds of the music. After several years, they decided to have a child. But unfortunately, when that child was born, her mom didn't make it. But little Madeline became the apple of Joe's eye. Little Madeline grew and grew, and Joe had no idea how to raise a little girl on his own. Didn't have a clue. So he looked to help from others. And Madeline began to grow. And one Christmas Eve, they're sitting there eating, and they're expecting the rest of the relatives to come over to open some more gifts that evening. And they're pushed back from the table, and Joe says, I'm just too full. I'm too full to do anything else, Madeline. I think it's time we just go to bed right now. And Madeline says, no, it's Christmas Eve. We have to dance. We have to dance tonight before the rest of the family comes over. And of course, Joe was teasing 5-year-old Madeline. So he turned on the music and together they danced. And then the doorbell rang and life came on in. And that's the way things progressed for Madeline and for Joe until those teenage years came along. And Joe had no idea what to do with 5-year-old Madeline. He really had no idea what to do with 15-year-old Madeline, whose eyes would roll, who would sigh at every suggestion. He didn't know what to do. And he really got scared when 16-year-old Madeline met that boy who looked a little shady and didn't seem to come from the right kind of family, and it made him very nervous. And so when 17-year-old Madeline said, I don't want to spend Christmas Eve with our family anymore, I want to spend Christmas Eve with my boyfriend, Joe said, no, I got to draw the line right there. That's not going to happen. And so she sat there as the family came in. There was no music, there was no dancing, just family. And one of Joe's brothers said, hey, you guys haven't danced tonight, let's turn on the music. So Joe, hoping to make up with his daughter, walks over and says, may I have this dance? Again, he got an eye roll. But this time she stormed out of the house and she never came back. Christmas Day came and went. No sign of Madeline. Well, and then what happens next? Joe goes looking for her, but he can't find her. So what had happened is she and her boyfriend, they decided that her boyfriend's cousin who lived in Chicago would give them room in his apartment to stay. And she would get a job as a clerk in a clothing store. And he's always wanted to work in a restaurant. So they went to Chicago, spent all their money on a bus ticket, got to his cousin's house, couldn't find a job. After a few weeks of this, we can guess what happened. Madeline's boyfriend's cousin kicked him out. Well, you know what? About this time, her boyfriend had just about enough too. So her boyfriend went back home and left her in Chicago on the streets, and she had nowhere to go. She finally ended up in the park one night, and this kind lady said, there's a shelter right down here, right down at the end of the block. Do you have any money at all? And she said, yeah, I've got a couple of dollars. Well, they'll let you stay there the night and give you a meal for a couple of days. So that, sure enough, that's where Madeline went. She went to the shelter. And as she wakes up the next morning, there's another young lady about her age on the cot next to her. And she says, this is the last day I'm going to sleep at this place. And Madeline says, how do you know? And she said, well, I've been working as a dancer and I've got enough tips now to rent my own place. Here, this is what you ought to do. And she writes down the name of the place where she's dancing, a little different kind of dancing than she did with her father. And so Madeline said, I don't really want to do that. But eventually, hunger and fear took over. So she found herself dancing for tips in a smoky establishment. After a few weeks of this, her ex-boyfriend's cousin shows up at the door with a box of letters. And he throws them down in the dressing room and says, these keep coming for you. Would you please tell him to stop sending them? They come two or three times a week. And Madeline looks down and it's her father's handwriting. She can tell. But she's too ashamed of herself to open the letters at all. So she pushes them aside because she doesn't want her father to know what she's doing. She doesn't want her father to know where she is. Then one day, a couple of weeks later, she walks into the dressing room and she sees the same handwriting and another letter laying on a table. But this one had no postmark. This one had no address. One of the other dancers walks in and says, oh, there was a big man here a couple of days ago, and he left that for you. So she opened it up and she looked at it and she read it and it said, my invitation still stands. Just like I said in the other letters. I know who you are. I know where you are. I know what you're doing. My invitation still stands. But she had never opened the other letters, so she had no idea what the other letters said. So she reached in the box and pulled one out, and it said, will you have one more dance? Will you come home and have one more dance with your father? You see, Jesus gave us an image of who God is. When he said, it's a gardener who wants to give the plant a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. When we read that parable, that's who Jesus is. And one of the things I think is so important is the last line of the parable. He says, I'll try it again. I will do it one more year. And then he doesn't say, then I'll cut it down. That's not what he says. What Jesus says in that parable is, I'll try one more year, and if you want to, you can cut it down. But I'm not going to quit. I am not going to give up on you. That is the God we serve. A God who wants to give second, third, and fourth chances. A God who recognizes where we are. Think about Moses. Never thought I would shift to Moses, did you? Think about Moses. Moses was born into Pharaoh's court, right? He was born a Hebrew slave, but was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He became a chief executive. By 40 years old, he was on the fast track to have a great job in the kingdom. But then one day he sees a man beating up a Hebrew slave. And instead of just breaking it up, he goes crazy and beats the man to death. So then he has to run away. So he runs away, a murderer. A man who has killed, and he hides for 40 years as a shepherd in the desert. And then one day, he's standing alone with his sheep, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him from a bush and says, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. I got work for you because I never gave up. 40-year-old Moses, the chief executive, the guy on his way, that's who we would pick to be on a mission from God. Not 80-year-old Moses. That's not who we would pick, but that's who God picked. Because God says it's never too late. It's never too late, and I never give up. That's the God we serve, is the God who says it's never too late, and I will never give up on you. The passage that Guy read for us at the end has one of the most magnificent images I can think of. Because here we have God represented to us as a gardener that'll never give up. You know, we have lots of mighty names for Jesus. Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We love those mighty sounding images. But Jesus, at the end of this chapter, says, the one thing I long to do is to be like a mother hen and take my children that live in Jerusalem, the ones who are about to kill me, the ones who have killed all the prophets before me. The only thing I want to be known as, what I want to do really, is take every one of them under my wings and shelter them. Because that is who God is. It may not sound so magnificent to say Jesus is the mother hen, but you know what? I don't mind that image, because sometimes that's who I need, is the mother hen who won't give up. We serve a God who won't give up on us. Let us today try not to give up on each other. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.